So while we're on the subject of pipelines, Sinclair Transportation against Sandberg, appellant, you may begin.
Good afternoon, Your Honors, opposing counsel. My name is Daniel W. Dean, attorney registration number 6744 out of Fort Collins, representing the landowners in this case, the Larsons and the Sandbergs. At appellant's table with me are Donna and Ira Larson, two of the property owners in this case. This case involves a search for private profit by a private corporation. The amorphous Sinclair name leads this case title, but this case is about Sinclair Transportation Company, a corporate entity with limited purpose and limited powers. The purpose of the pipeline is to make profit off of Denver residents. We don't begrudge the right of the amorphous blob Sinclair to make a profit off of Denver residents. We do abhor it taking its profit from landowners in Weld County by running a high-pressure 10-inch gasoline fuel line through a residential neighborhood and an intended residential neighborhood. The property owners object to the existence of condemnation power of this private corporation because of the way it was created, the purpose for which it was created, and what it intends to do. And they object to the use of condemnation power in this particular case because the use has no public use embedded in it. I did not ask for this oral argument. I told you within the 950-word limit what you need to know to enforce the Constitution of the state of Colorado to protect the personal property rights of its citizens. I've told you what you need to know to enforce the most recent legislation from the Colorado legislature, which reacted to the Kelo decision of the United States Supreme Court and attempted to restrict those circumstances under which private profit can be made off of private condemnation of private land. I have no words to add. I thank you for the invitation to repeat what I've already said.
Well, Mr. Dean, if I may interject here, I have absolutely no interest in your repeating what's in your briefs. In fact, that's prohibited under our appellate rules. But I do have a couple of questions. Your brief indicates something about whether Sinclair has to indicate that it was a common carrier or not. Do you have any authority that indicates that it would not have any condemnation authority unless it were a common carrier?
No, I do not take the stand that it would have no authority. I do not take that stand. I take the stand that public use is a burden by a preponderance of the evidence by the condemning authority and may not be satisfied by a presumption arising out of the common carrier status from the Larson versus Chase pipeline case. I'm not saying they don't have power or some entity might not have power if it could show a public use. But the statute changed, the burden is on the condemning authority, they don't get the presumption.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Do you have any case law that has to do with whether the common carrier piece is a requirement of determining whether the use was public or not?
Absolutely not. The only cases are that public use is presumed under Larson versus Chase when a common carrier status exists. I challenge the presumption currently existing because of the legislative action in 2006. And I challenge this condemning authority as being a common carrier.
Okay, Mr. Dean, if I may be so bold, let me ask you a question. What are we to do with what's the standard of our review of the trial court's determination that Sinclair was a common carrier? And can you
absolutely no
whether there was any evidence that Sinclair was a common carrier?
No, it's absolutely de novo. There was no evidence. The allusion was to a similarly named company in 1978 that got exempted from the regulatory requirements of the then existing federal regulation of pipelines carrying oil, not finished petroleum product. That legislation has been amended. It's actually been repealed. And the reenacted statute has been twice amended since 1978, and the entity that was once given that quasi-status of a common carrier for a limited purpose under federal law has long ago gone out of existence. And no subsequent determination has been made.
The FERC document that's referenced in the briefs, is that right?
I'm sorry, I do have a bit of a hearing problem. I need to lean in.
That's the FERC document that's referenced in the briefs, is that correct?
That is what this condemning authority has relied upon to invoke the cloak of a common carrier, because that entity in 1978 had a similar name.
Okay. Is there anything in the record having to do with common carrier other than that FERC document?
I do not believe so, other than Mr. Stice's testimony that he thought it must be because it was in 78 and it's got the same name.
Mr. Dean, your opening brief says that they have no Article 4 power. They have no Article 5 power. Is that a preliminary question to the public use question? In other words, if we were to agree with you that they have no such power under each article, then do we have to get to the public use question?
No, it is a preliminary question. If no power exists because the corporation doesn't have the proper stature, you don't have to get the public use.
What would it take for it to have that stature?
I argue it must comply with the Article 7-43 organizational principles, because absent that criteria, no corporation has a power to condemn for a pipeline purpose, because there is no limit on it, and the grant of unlimited power is an unconstitutional grant. So it has to be formed by three people. It has to be formed for the specific purpose of constructing a pipeline, and it has to file a map in the county in which it intends to cross.
Now, what if it's a citizen of another sovereign? In other words, if it's a Wyoming corporation or Delaware corporation, can we still require that?
Yes, you can require it. No, it's not currently required. The statute is pretty open-ended. It is my argument that because of its open-endedness, if you don't adopt the definition from Title VII, you have created an unconstitutional grant of condemnation power to any entity that wants to use pipeline in its name and assert for some purpose at some time that it wants to construct a pipeline. Once it gets its easement, it can have its roller skating park.
Thank you.
I would like to reserve the balance of my time if there are no further questions. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Jack Sperber, registration number 22073, appearing on behalf of the appellee Sinclair Transportation Company. With me at council's table is my partner, Brandy Caswell, registration number 30706. I'd like to make a couple of preliminary comments regarding the nature of the proceeding and to specifically respond to some of Mr. Dean's characterizations of the property and the issues that were involved. This, as you well know, is an eminent domain case. It involves, though, the simple right to acquire the right to install one additional pipeline within an existing 50-foot easement that has been across the Sandburg and Larson's properties since 1963. That 1963 easement already has a 6-inch pipeline within it, and as part of a new project to add a second pipeline, Sinclair went back in to acquire additional rights to install the second pipeline. Now, this easement was in place back when the Sandbergs bought the 150-acre parcel. It was in place in 2000 when the Larsons bought 97 acres of that 150-acre parcel, and it's in place today. The land when the Larsons bought it was agricultural land with the potential for residential development. The land today is agricultural land with the potential for development, but it's not yet been developed with any residences. I think the residential development that Mr. Dean alludes to is property immediately to the south and isn't owned by any of the parties in this case. But it's worth noting that that property has been developed with a full suburban-style residential development with homes immediately abutting the easements that are at question in this case. Now, I did ask for the oral argument today, and I asked for it because, quite frankly, the respondents, the appellates in this case, have raised a wide variety of issues, some which focus on the authority to condemn and some which focus on the evidentiary issues that were decided at the trial court level. I'm frankly not sure which of those areas are of more interest to this court, so I would ask of you if you have questions of either of those areas, and I can focus my arguments with respect to that.
Let's talk about Sinclair's authority to condemn.
Sure.
And I would like to ask you what you think is the basis for the trial court's decision or determination that Sinclair does, in fact, have the authority to condemn in this case.
Your Honor, I think there are two parts of authority to condemn, as the court has already alluded to. One is whether there was a public purpose, and the other is whether there was statutory authority to condemn.
Let's go to statutory authority first.
With the statutory authority to condemn, I think we derive those powers very clearly from Article 5, 38.5.104 specifically, which grants the powers to a wide variety of companies, including pipelines, to condemn property. There is no requirement within that statute that you meet the various requirements that Mr. Dean has alluded to, such as the filing of a map, the posting of tariffs, the formation by three or more people. And there was a question specifically about 743.102. That's a statutory provision that relates to the creation of pipeline companies as Colorado corporations. 38.5, and specifically 38.5.101, which is part of the same article that creates these condemnation powers, talks about foreign or domestic corporations. So that presupposes that you can have a pipeline company that by definition would not meet the requirements of 743.102.
However, that statute refers to domestic or foreign pipeline companies.
That's right.
And how do we know this is a pipeline company without a definition?
Sure. And there is no definition within that statute. Frankly, there's not a definition within most of the other statutes that relate to eminent domain powers of pipeline companies. The closest that I've seen is, I believe, in Article 4, which talks about form for the purposes, among others, of running a pipeline. We presented evidence at the immediate possession hearing that the purpose of Sinclair Transportation Company is to operate and maintain pipelines. We presented that evidence through the testimony of David Stice, in-house counsel and a former engineer for Sinclair. We also presented into evidence various agreements, including a transportation agreement between two Sinclair entities that laid out that the purpose of Sinclair Transportation Company, this company, was to operate and maintain pipelines, including the existing Medicine Bow pipeline that's already within this easement and the planned pipeline that's going to be constructed now. So I'm not aware of any law anywhere that says that in order to be a pipeline company within the meaning of various eminent domain statutes around the country that deal with these kind of powers, it needs to be somehow laid out in a specific corporate document or formed in any particular way. So I would suggest that we well met our burden of proof by establishing that our purpose was to operate and maintain pipelines, and that was what this company does.
Would that be sufficient under Colorado law to be a pipeline company within Colorado?
It may not be. Well, I think it would be within the meaning of 38.5.104.
No, but if we take the word domestic pipeline company.
Right, and just use that phrase.
And we use that phrase, would Sinclair Transport qualify under the requirements for a domestic pipeline company?
I think they would. Whether they would comply within 743.102 may be a different issue. But frankly, I don't think you need to decide that. And I think part of the respondent's argument, as I understand it, is that you're supposed to take all of the statutes that exist in Colorado that grant eminent domain powers to pipeline companies, and that Sinclair has to comply with each and every one of the requirements of each of those statutes in order to have condemnation power. And that's just not right.
Well, I have a more fundamental issue, Mr. Sperber. This is not the cleanest statute we've ever seen. The first words in it are such pipeline company. How are we supposed to construe that? Don't we have to construe that by reference to some other statutory provisions?
Well, I think that you can reference back to 38.5.101, which talks about foreign or domestic corporations and refers to various purposes of those corporations.
Yeah, but 38.5.101 doesn't define what a pipeline company is either. Don't you have a problem? Because 38.4.102 says it talks about pipeline companies, but it doesn't mention gasoline.
There's no specific references to the type of product that needs to flow through these pipelines at all. It just simply talks about pipeline companies and the purposes being for the construction of pipes and rights of way necessary for the construction of those pipes.
Well, is anybody, any company that has a product that they want to move through a pipe, is that a pipeline company? And if that's your position, what's your authority for it?
You know, frankly, that is my position. And the authority for it is the statute itself, the Larson v. Chase Pipeline Company, which relies upon the predecessor version to this same statute, 38.5.104. I believe the citation is 50.2.104, but it's cited right in that case. And if you look at the annotations to 38.5.104, it references that as the predecessor. Larson involved an oil pipeline that was a foreign corporation from Kansas, and the court found that they had the authority to condemn and to acquire property and use it for oil pipeline purposes.
Well, this court has been looking at some authorities from outside Colorado that seem to indicate that certain requirements have to be met for something to be a pipeline, and it's more akin to a common carrier type of a situation where you carry more than one company's products. How can you direct us on that?
I think, again, there are statutes that relate to pipelines as common carriers and that grant condemnation powers based on common carriers, and there are a variety of those around the country. There are also statutes like 38.5.104 that don't turn on whether it's a common carrier. I would suggest that the common carrier question really goes in part to the public purpose, which is separate than statutory authority. There's a question about, has there been granted the authority to condemn for these purposes? And I'm not aware of any law in Colorado which says that to be a pipeline and to have condemnation authority within any of our statutes, you need to be a common carrier. There then has been a discussion in some of the cases that the appellant cited to about common carriers, and they did cite the statutes from other jurisdictions that turned on common carrier status. I think we meet that definition of common carrier, but I don't think that's necessarily the standard in Colorado. And there is a case, Aikens v. Four Corners, which has been cited in our brief as part of the legal authority analysis. It recognizes that there are four or five different statutes in Colorado that grant condemnation powers to pipeline companies. That involves specifically natural gas companies condemning, and they were making an argument that they were entitled to condemn under private way of necessity statutes because pipelines were essentially serving a private purpose recognized within that constitutional provision.
That's a panel completely different statutory scheme than what we're looking at here. This is
the private way of necessity. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Mark.
But that really is a different scheme because that is of necessity, way of necessity, and that's a really different situation than what we've got here.
I think so, and I think that's exactly what the Aikens court said. They said that pipeline companies cannot condemn as a private purpose under a private way of necessity. That's not what the justification is for pipelines. And what they said specifically is that all of these various statutes, including Article 5 condemnation powers, serve a public purpose by promoting mineral resource development, and that is a public purpose in and of itself. And that's this fundamental tension between this common carrier argument and the appellants arguing that public use is the requirement. Public use is not the standard under Colorado law and under the standard of most jurisdictions. It's a public benefit.
Well,
and again,
I just want to make sure I get a chance to ask you this question.
Sure.
You have indicated in your briefs that if there's no requirement in Colorado to be a common carrier, but I did not see a citation. Do you have any authority for that proposition?
I guess I would answer that it's difficult to prove a negative. I'm not aware of any case law anywhere in Colorado that says that is a requirement in order to be an entity with condemnation powers, and the statute simply says you need to be a pipeline company. You know, the town of Parker v. Norton case suggests that you don't have to meet the requirements of every single statute. We may have a statute in Colorado that says you have to be a common carrier, but that case specifically involved a prohibition against condemnation powers for recreational trails, and the court said even if that prohibits it, If you have separate condemnation powers from another source, in that case, a home rule charter, that you could condemn under that section without complying with or without dealing with the prohibitions in another section. I'm not aware of any legislative history or any case law which suggests that it's appropriate for the court to read all these statutes together and to impose all of the requirements together.
Are we to interpret a delegation of condemnation of eminent domain, are we to interpret those statutes loosely or narrowly or strictly? How are we to interpret those?
I think the standard was fairly laid out by the appellants that eminent domain statutes are to be construed strictly, and that you can only have such powers as are specifically granted or are necessarily implied. But these powers were specifically granted. There is an eminent domain statute which specifically gives to pipeline companies the authority to condemn property for right-of-way for pipeline purposes. So I don't think this is really a question about a narrow construction of the statute. The language is there, and typically when you have arguments in the case law about whether there's a power, it's something that's well beyond the explicit language. It's cases like the Stapleton v. CDOT case where somebody's condemning for a parking lot and the statute says that they can condemn only for highway purposes. Ultimately, the Supreme Court found in that case that CDOT does have the power to condemn for parking lots because that's necessarily implied from the use of highway purposes.
So
but I'm not aware.
Let me interrupt you for a minute. So let's say we have two companies. And we have a Colorado company, Marathon Oil, and they want to run a pipeline. They have a separate operating company that operates that pipeline for them. And we have a Wyoming company, Sinclair, that wants to run that pipeline in from Wyoming. Do the same standards apply to each of them, or does one company have a different standard?
No. You know, I think the same standards apply to each of them depending upon what statute they're condemning under. And so if a Colorado State Corporation decided not to condemn under Article 4 or not under the requirements of 743.102, but they could demonstrate they meet the requirements of Article 5, meaning that they are a pipeline company, I think they have those same condemnation powers. And again, you know, there's case law that suggests that you can condemn as a condemnor, you can choose what statutes to proceed under. For instance, home rule municipalities can condemn under Article 6 powers or Article 1 powers under Title 38. They typically proceed under Article 1, because they like the procedural mechanisms there better.
So let's say both want to go under Article 5, both claim to be pipeline companies. Is the same standard for determining whether the Colorado company is a pipeline company applicable to Sinclair, which is not incorporated in Colorado?
If I understand your question, again, I think they're condemning under the same statute and relying upon the same statute. Yes, the standards are the same. And it doesn't mean that somebody just gets to say they're a pipeline company and then get to condemn. I mean, there was very definite evidence presented in this case that established that the primary purpose of Sinclair Transportation Company is to operate and maintain pipelines, and that was the purpose for which they were condemned. I see that I'm out of time. Thank you.
Mr. Dean, any rebuttal?
Briefly, thank you, Your Honor. You heard from Mr. Stice, who said that public use is not the test in Colorado. I quote from Mr. Stice's article in the 2006 Annual Survey of Colorado Law, co-authored with a member of the firm representing the appellees in this case. He's speaking of House Bill 1411, adopted by the Colorado Legislature in 2006. He said the new measure also changes the burden of proof on the issue of public use in a condemnation action. The law has now been changed to shift the burden of proving public use to the condemning entity. Now, it may be that Mr. Sperber has abandoned that attitude about the law, but if he wants to use a 1978 ruling from FERC to support a common carrier status, I think maybe he should be bound by his 2007 actually is when he authored it, opinion on the burden in condemnation cases. I want to thank you for focusing on the critical issue here, which is the power and the definition of what a pipeline company is. And I am thrilled by the argument that I didn't even think of, the disproportionate treatment between foreign and domestic corporations. If one has to meet the definition of 7-43 and the other does not, and if the domestic corporation does not need to meet that burden, then 7-43 is absolutely made meaningless by the Section 5 power of Title 38. And that is inconsistent, I submit, with statutory construction. I have no other comments or other questions.
Yes.
Thank you for your, yes.
I would like to make sure that I understand your argument as it was made in your brief. And that is that because there is no definition of pipeline in 38.5.105, we must use Section 743.102, because if we were not to do that, we would allow the definition of pipeline to be unlimited, and therefore that would be unconstitutional.
That is my argument. Thank you. Yes.
What's the constitutional provision that you are claiming that that would violate?
Article Roman numeral 2, Section 15 of the Colorado Constitution, which prohibits the taking of private land for private purpose. The general principles of constitutional law that rights established cannot be taken away arbitrarily and capriciously, and a definition which has no meaning, I submit, is an arbitrary and capricious taking of the right of private ownership of land. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Again, your arguments were very helpful.